Where'd you come from? Connie was behind the wall the whole time, hiding. It's kind of like where I would like to be right now. Let's bow and close our eyes for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, praise you, that no matter what happens in this world, we know that one day we shall be in your presence. We thank you, Lord, that all our troubles will seem so small with one glimpse of your dear face. Thank you, Lord, that we can't compare all that happens here with all the glory that we'll have there. We thank you, Lord, that there will last for all eternity. And here is but a glimpse. Help us, Lord, never to forget that. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I had planned on speaking on 2 Corinthians 6, which is the next passage in our scripture in 2 Corinthians. But a lot has happened since then. Didn't really know what I was going to do until pretty much the last few moments. So I'm not going to speak on that passage. Take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. There are going to be some things that I say this morning that my guess would be some people won't like. But that hasn't stopped me before. I hope there's going to be some things that I say that many will like. Years ago, when I was in college, I was struck by this old preacher who came to school. And I've told the story a number of times. But he came to Liberty University and he said to all the pastoral majors, he said, "Guys, when you one day go to a church, here's what I want you to do. First thing you do is write out your resignation. And then take that and figuratively pin it to the pulpit. And then preach whatever you believe God wants you to preach." And I've never forgotten that, and I haven't done that literally, but I've done that figuratively. And those of you who know me know that that's basically the way I've lived my life, whether it's standing behind the pulpit or talking to the people, or whether it's at home with my wife. Best thing that's ever happened to me. I've always tried to say what I believe God wants me to say. May not have always said it in the right way, may not have always done it well, but that's what, the way I've tried to live my life. This week, there's been some real ugliness that we've all learned of. Maybe some of you don't even know yet. But in the newspaper, there's been some really ugly articles. Ones like this one. Ones like this one, and on TV, and they've been all over the place. And I learned of what was going on Wednesday, and pretty much my phone's been ringing like crazy. Until Connie and I snuck out on Friday, got on our boat, and took off for a little while. And then, even while I was gone, I got a phone call from the Scranton Times wanting to talk to me. So the moment I got home from fishing, well, mostly boat riding, I got on the phone with the Scranton Times. Then I went back out on the water in the evening with Andy, and caught just a beautiful walleye, 25 inches long. Andy, how long was he? I have the pictures. And you took them. We got unbelievable, beautiful fillets of walleye that I can't wait to eat. I don't eat fish much anymore because we've caught so many fish in my lifetime, I just got sick of them. So I usually don't eat them. I usually throw them back in. But if you've never had walleye, I mean, walleye's delicious. We have built this church on a very basic principle. And it wasn't until a few years ago that we actually put it in writing. And you see it all the time. Not now. Who knows it? You're pointing. Oh, it's in the foyer? Who knows it? Raise your hand if you know it. Stand up. Stand up and say it. For God's glory. The goal of this church has always been to take God's word, help people to know what God says, and to see lives changed. See lives conformed to the image of God. We don't do that for me. Anytime anyone ever talks to me and says, your church is doing something, it's like stabbing a stake in my heart. It's not my church. It's our church. So if you are part of this church, don't ever say to me, your church did this or that. It's not my church. It's our church. And if you've joined it, and some of you just recently, and some of you are going to be joining our church real soon, the purpose of this church is to help people to become what God wants them to be, mature, living Christians who love God to the very depths of their life. And all of that is found right here in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 28 and 29. It says, him we proclaim, the him is Jesus, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone, not most, not everyone but one, but everyone mature in Christ. For this, Paul writing says, I toil. You could stick my name in there too. Struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me. You know, in reality, there are three kinds of people that go to church. There are those who become Christians and they grow to maturity. They love God. They live for God. They try to do what God wants them to do with their lives. We have some people right now who are working towards maturity, or not towards maturity, towards church membership. And I'm really excited about that. But Ed and Janet Flowers, I've known for many, many years. And they're an example of someone getting ready to join this church that I've seen in their lives and just love the Lord and want to live for the Lord. And I've seen the lives of people who've already joined this church. Then there are some who never change. You know, they go to church, well, it's this church or another church. Let me use our church as an example. They come to this church week after week after week, month after month after month, year after year after year, and they never change. Nothing's ever different. They're never more committed to coming to worship. They're never more in the Word of God. They're never see any difference in their life. They don't gossip less. They don't look like Jesus more. They're just always the same. Hebrews chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talk about these kind of people. that though by this time they ought to be teachers, they aren't because they continue to need the milk of God's word. Their attitudes don't change. The way they talk doesn't change. The way they think doesn't change. They're just always the same. Maybe that's the reason I have less hair these days. But it's one of the reasons why I often want to quit pastoring. Because you want to see everybody grow. You want to see everybody love God. You want to see everybody different. And there's sometimes I stand up to preach and I sometimes think to myself, why bother? Because no matter what I say, they're not going to be any different. I think maybe that's some of the struggles that Moses had in the desert when he dealt with the people of Israel. And you know what? We're all like the Israelites, every one of us, including me. Go back and read Israel, and when you see them moaning and complaining and groaning, and you say, how could they be like that? Take it back and say, how can I be like that? Because we're just like them. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says we're just like them. And then there are some people that, third kind of people, that they seem to move forward, and then something happens and they go backwards. They were growing, they were excited. I remember one time a person saying that goes to this church, before the year's out, I want to lead someone to Christ. And I hardly ever hear them talking about leading someone to Christ anymore. Some who used to go to church regularly don't anymore. Some who were a lot further ahead seem to be walking backwards. And it reminds me of 666. You know the number, right? Everybody knows that number, but maybe you don't know it the way that it's here. Turn your Bible to the Gospel of John. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 60. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? Verse 61. But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do not take offense at this. What if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew that from the beginning those who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, that is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. After this, verse 66 of John 6, after this, many disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and we have come to know it that you are the Holy One of God. Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil. Spoke of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. John 6:66. From that time on, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You know, I've often said that a church is a hospital for sinners, and it is. But I think like a doctor, when people don't get healed, a doctor, I think every time he does surgery and fails, hurts deeply, and a pastor, every time he sees someone not live up to maturity, not grow up spiritually, pastor's heart burns. Not long ago, there was a lady who used to go to church here. And she walked around carrying an email that I had sent out. And every chance she got, she would hold out this email and say, "Don't go to that church. That pastor's evil and those people are terrible." Some of you know who I'm referring to. Don't know if she's still doing it, but did it a lot. Now, this week, we've seen the news stories. And Connie and I, Wednesday night, were sitting getting ready to eat supper, and news came on and showed Bobby Jenziak. I think it was an arm. But we got about one or two bites of our supper, and that was it. Couldn't eat anymore. Years ago, we had three ladies come to our church several years back. Best I can tell, I've looked up, not everything I'm going to say I've looked up, but I did look this up. It's about 5 years ago that they came. And I remember Connie and I turning to each other and saying, "Oh no, not another Jenziak." Several years ago, we had a couple coming to this church named Jenziak. And they had come from another church that he had been disciplined out of. And I knew the whole situation and kept my eyes on him from the beginning. Till one day his wife called me on the phone and said, "He did it again." I had to confront him, along with Charlie Budrus hiding over there near the door. We went and confronted him, and he said to me, he said, "If you say anything about this or do anything," he said, "I'm going to make your life miserable." I said, "You can do what you want, but I know what you did. The source I have is, I can trust." Never told him it was his wife. "Don't ever come to our church again. I'm going to protect the people of this church, and don't you ever step in this church again." So when we saw the Gen ZX coming, that's what we remembered. If you were to ask me this morning why we have these newspaper articles and why we've had the events of this week and however long it took, my answer would be it was pure selfishness and laziness. Haven't seen a bunch of people more lazy in my life. Some is lazy, but I'm more lazy. And selfish is all get out. And as ugly, as horrible as it is, and as surprising to me as it is, it's not gigantically surprising that it happened. Susie joined this church back in November of 2008. And she was removed from membership this past Thursday. Leadership team met together, and based on what we've learned, there's no way she could remain a member of this church. So as the leadership got together, we just made a decision and we removed her from membership. That is in your bulletin this morning. Joni wanted to join when Susie did, and I would not allow her to. In fact, we wouldn't allow her to join this church for 2 years. And the main reason was because of immoral issues. Seemed like every time Joni got around the guy, she was jumping in bed with him. We held her from joining up. It took 2 years. She joined this church in February 26th of last year. And then she met another guy. And in August of last year, we had to remove her from membership for doing the very same thing. And then in the fall, she came back to us because the guy kicked her out. Came back to us and said, "I want to come back to church." And Bob and I met with her after we met with her mother, and her mother said she hasn't changed. Bob and I met with her, and Joni and Susie got in an argument right in front of us as she wanted to come back to church. We said, "No, you can't." She was going to a church in Tunkhannock. We said, keep going there, get your life right. We'll talk about it someday down the road when you get your life right with God, but now is not a good time. We see no repentance. We thought Susie agreed with us, but evidently she didn't, because she decided to leave and go to that church with Joni. And when Bobby died, she was not coming to church here. I called that pastor up and I said, look, we got to do something about this. We need to reach out to this family. We need to help this family. So that pastor and me got together and started working with them on a real expedited way. And the day that Bobby died, I got a call and said that he did, and that's when Susie wasn't coming here. And I thought, I still want to reach out to her, so I called her and I said, Susie, I just want to offer my condolence, really sad about what's happened. Talked to her a little bit, got off the phone, turned to Connie and said to Connie, I've never heard anything like that. Someone who had no emotion, no hurt, no nothing, and her son just died. That was really weird, just like it was relayed in the newspaper. As we worked with Susie, this other pastor, myself, she finally started coming back to church, and then we found out they had scabies. Knew nothing about Bobby. We found out that the baby, Rebecca, Joni, and Susie had scabies. And if you don't know, scabies is a very infectious disease. You can catch it just by hugging or shaking hands. She put everyone here in our church at risk. And when I asked her about it, she said they got it in January. When I did more digging, I found out she didn't get it in January. They got it back in August when Becky went to bed with her boyfriend. Soon as I found out about it, I said, that's it. You're not coming back to church anymore. You got to get this thing cleaned. You got to get this right. I can't put our church, the people of this church, at risk. You got to get this thing taken care of. And I found out when you have scabies, medicine's real simple. You take it and it's gone. They never said anything about Bobby. I find it interesting that 10 or 11 of those who work at the hospital caught scabies. The assistant DA caught scabies. No one here did. Our church family did so much for that family. Giving them money, giving them food, even at times giving food directly for Bobby. We had a lady in our church take them shopping to teach them how to spend their money, because they always came to this church and said they had no money. We gave them plenty of rides. One person, I'm pretty sure, even gave Susie a bath to help her out when she had broken her arm. And most importantly, we gave them the teaching of the Word of God. We cared for them. And it didn't matter that they didn't have money. At least we didn't think they had money. It didn't matter. We treated them as if they were millionaires. It's the way we treat everybody. And then we found out that she was getting over $1,000 for Bobby being disabled, and over another $1,000 she was getting because she had a disabled child in her home. That's over $2,000 a month, $24,000 a year, tax-free. My son is a Virginia State Trooper. He doesn't make that much money. There were people in this church that gave them money and gave them things who had less money than them. Why? Well, first of all, we didn't know it, but because this is a loving church and you're a great group of people. But I know you have questions, so let me try to answer some of the questions I think you may be asking. One is, have we been infected? The answer is, as far as I know, no one, not one single person has caught anything. Number two, did anyone know what was going on? No. And you know me. If I did, I would have called the police. In fact, about a month ago, I did call the police on the Gen Z X. I found out that Becca was hitting her mother and didn't think that she could be stopped. So I told the family, if I hear it happen again, I'm calling the police. Well, I got a call that it happened again, put down the phone, called Susie. When I picked it back up, I said, did Becca hit you? She said, yes. I said, I'm calling the police. She said, go ahead. I called the police. I had thought maybe that would put a scare into Becca, but evidently there was a lot more going on that we didn't know. What have we done since we've learned? Well, we've put Susie out of the church. I did the interview with the Scranton Times. And let me say, if the Scranton Times calls you, answer their questions. Talk to them. Be careful. Media has a way of twisting things, but talk to them. This guy from the Scranton Times, Joe, I think it's Hohut, he told me on the phone he just wants to know who Bobby was and what happened to him so that he can figure this whole thing out. And I read what he put in the paper about my interview yesterday. It wasn't all there, and it wasn't exactly how I said, but it was close enough. He's not trying to, catch somebody or do something. He just wants to know what happened. Talk to them. The next thing I think we need to answer is, now what? What do we do in light of what's happened? So let me try to answer that. I think in light of what happened, some of you will use the excuse, because you want any excuse you can, not to shake hands. Don't buy into that. The Bible says we ought to greet one another with a holy kiss. Let me say, first of all, it was holy. And secondly, kissing in those days was a kiss on the cheek on either side. People still do that today, but it was basically the same thing as shaking hands. So the Bible says, greet one another. I know sometimes you're afraid of catching germs. Well, wash your hands if you think that's going to help. But, when we reach a point where Christians can't relate to one another and we got to hide in places, and separate ourselves, then we've stopped being Christian. Don't do that. In the future, someone's going to come to this church. Maybe some of you already are there, and you may not have money, and people are going to come, and maybe they're going to be, welfare recipients, and they need financial help, and you might pull away and say, well, what if they're like them? Don't ever treat people that way. Care for them, love them, and treat them the same way that Christ treats you, in spite of all your failures. Secondly, let the Gen ZX be a warning. A warning to you. Now, you might say, I would never do what they did. Really? Well, maybe you wouldn't do what they did to Bobby, but really what they did is to come to this church day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and not change. Be the exact same person that they were when they came. And if you do that, you're being just like them. This church happened because of my love for the people of this area, of wanting to have a church that would reach out to the people of this area with the gospel of Jesus Christ so that people could know what salvation really was. It was a church that was founded to help people to grow in the relationship with Christ, and it was a church that was founded that there would be a pastor in it that would never apologize for preaching the truth of God's word. When I first was getting ready to start a church, I asked 5 questions of pastors in this area, and one of them got in a fight with me, one of them cussed me out, one of them hung up on me, and one of them said I was trying to pick a fight with him. All I asked was, do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? Do you believe Jesus literally rose from the dead? Do you believe Jesus is literally going to come back? And do you believe that you need to be saved to go to heaven? And I say all the time, don't be different on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday than what you are on Sunday. Take what you hear on Sunday and live it out during the week. People ought to be able to go into our homes and find nothing that we're hiding. When they go to your home, they ought to see what they see of you on Sunday. Because that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to open God's Word to change lives. And as he says here in Colossians, so that we will mature in the faith, we'll become like Christ, and we do that in his strength, so that when ugly things like this happen, we go on and we don't quit. But I have some prayer requests for you. Pretty simple. Because you might be asking, what should we pray? Well, here's some things I think we ought to pray. Number one, pray the ministry of Open Door is not hurt by all of this. Pray the ministry of Open Door is not hurt by all this. Look at this. Murder suspect ignored help. Counselors repeatedly called woman accused of starving son. Mom's sisters faced charges of starving 32-year-old with Down syndrome. He was 69 pounds. And then under it, it says torture. And for the rest of this world, it will also say these people went to Open Door Baptist Church. Pray the ministry of this church is not hurt. Number two, pray that justice is done. You know, the more and more I read this stuff, the angrier I get, and I've heard many people say that to me. You know, sometimes when you see something like this, because you know the people, you kind of struggle in your heart. But let me ask you, what would you do if you didn't know the people? If you didn't know the Gen Z-X, what would you be saying if you heard of a family starving their son who was mentally handicapped to death so that he died of sepsis? How would you feel then? I think we ought to pray that justice is done. But we ought to be reminded, too, that Jesus died for them just like he died for me and you. Number three, pray that this doesn't happen again. Or at least that Open Door is not attached to it. And I'd like to say one last thing this morning. I heard it a couple times in the last couple days. There is a tendency to begin to think and to begin to say, boy, you really can't ever know anybody. You really don't know what's going on in people's homes. Maybe they're one day on Sunday and totally different during the week. You know what? I think that happens a lot. But I want you to know that's not true of everyone. And I want you to know that's not true of me. What you see here on Sunday, I'm the same guy when I go home with my wife. Not perfect, mess up, say stupid stuff sometimes, make bad decisions sometimes. But I'm trying to live the way that God wants me to live. And with all the English I can pull out, I'll say it this way. I ain't no phony. And I hope you're not either. There are some real people in this world. Let's pray. Father God, I do pray, Lord, that the ministry of this church may continue to reach people for Jesus. Help us, Lord, to work with all this energy that so powerfully works within us. Help us, Lord, to continue to serving you. Help us, Lord, not to stay the same. Help us not to go backwards. Lord, help us to grow in the faith. Help us, Father, become more like Jesus each and every day. Instead of, Father, making excuses for wrong, help us, Lord, to struggle towards that which is right. And Father, I pray for every person that is here this morning, including me. Help us, Lord, to love you and to do what is right and to please you in all things so that our lives might draw people to you instead of turning people away from you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we'll ask our ushers to come forward as we take our morning offering. Let's pray. Father, as we give this morning, help us, Lord, to give out of love. I pray, Lord, selfishness would not keep us from giving. Help our heart, Lord, to be filled with others and not ourself. May we give because we want to see lives helped, people changed, and your word to go out into this world. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.